The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldLearning.com. And on iTunes and Stitcher, maybe. If you're lucky.
We were going to do a thing, but you just ruined it.
What did I ruin? Oh, well, hold on. And action.
The toy bar is open!
No, that's ruined. That's just...
Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined, Dave and I, as always, with the ever dulcet tones of the one and only Eidos Baron.
Good afternoon, guys.
Live and in person.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were like a 50-year-old Jewish woman. That was a shock.
Oh, me?
Yeah. You need to lay off the camels.
Remember, kids, don't smoke.
It's bad for you.
Yes.
Horrible.
It's terrible for your voice.
Oh. But yes, Eidos Baron is here in Springfield, Illinois with us and just has spent the weekend with us and is, as hopefully this recording proves, is still alive.
Yes.
We didn't feed him chocolate and he didn't die.
He didn't feed me after dark.
Yeah.
No. Didn't get water
didn't
on
get
me.
Wet.
That's right. Make sure to keep you away from dairy products.
Yes. In all honesty, that was the thing that had me the most worried.
We were just going to feed you cheese?
No. It's I haven't told them, and I don't want to be that guy that kind of ruins the experience for everyone. So I think...
We don't care.
No,
it's like, we're like, yeah, I'm sure there'll be something on the menu for you.
Right, there usually is.
Well, it's like... Like, we went to Darcy's, and I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe. But Doss to have a horseshoe. It'd be crazy. He's never had it. And then he works with us. I'm like, all right. And then we went to go out pizza. And then that day, Doss was like, I don't do dairy product. Or there, he's like, I don't do dairy product. And I was like, well, aren't I a dick?
No, not at all.
I'm like, you're going to come eat where we eat. You're going to like it, mister.
I mean, you know, every once in a while. Well, my family, especially, I tell them this all the time. But my mother will, oh, you can have that, right? You can have cheese. No. Oh, here, I put chicken in this. No, I'm not eating that. Oh, okay. And then, you know, my mother is oblivious to everything. Oh, menopause will do that to you.
Well, mothers are like that.
Yeah.
Miss her when she's gone.
She's only gotten worse.
That's what I always tell Duvall. You'll miss her when she's gone.
Yeah, that's all right. But Doss is here. He did spend the weekend with us. Hopefully we entertained him enough to where...
Yeah, hopefully he still wants to work for the site.
Yes, no.
He's not ready to like...
My dreams have not been shattered by meeting you guys in person.
You start to wonder, Doss, you know, you're, 10 years younger than us?
When were you born?
84.
Oh.
Yeah, wow, you're only a year older than, or you're younger than, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 7 years younger.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, here Dave and I are, Dave's in his 40s, I'm almost in my 40s, I'm like, we're boring people, I don't know what we're going to do with dogs.
Yeah.
you have this childlike exuberance, which... That compliments me very well.
And, keeps me young.
Well, Dave and I were shooting that whole video last night, and I'd like to think I filled some of your role nicely.
Yay!
Yeah.
Because of Dave's grumpy exterior.
Yeah, we played that out.
Not only that, but, you know, sticking various plastic pieces in facial orifice.
Yeah, that I was... I, like, turned to him and he's got something shoved up his nose.
Oh,
like, okay.
Oh, God. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Hopefully you will.
Oh, I will. It'll be wonderful. But we've had a good time this weekend. We had some adventures. Did some stuff.
Actually, it was surprisingly unadventurous, which, you know, being me, I liked.
Oh, well, of course.
We went, we did the thing, we got our toys, we came home.
We conquered, we...
Yeah.
Well, yes, there was the obligatory having to socialize with other human beings bull poop that you insist upon.
Well...
But it was surprisingly tolerable for once for me.
Yes, you made some friends.
I made a surprising new friend. Yeah. I had no idea who he was.
After everything you've warned me about, no, you're not doing anything of what you told me.
It's all inside.
Yes.
I cover well.
Dave covers
Jason,
well.
Jason can tell you, when I'm unhappy, I can cover it very well.
Oh, but it starts to seep out through the edges, and you're like, what's wrong?
Yeah, no. Like, believe me, when we finished filming, it was like, it's time for you to go to your room, and then I'm just going to hang out in my room and be alone for a while. Trust me.
I don't ever get to be alone. I'm Carrie's always home.
No, boo-hoo.
No, but we, Das flew in on Friday, and you picked him up because I was working.
Yeah.
I got the sign treatment and everything.
You did the sign treatment. Misspelled your name on purpose.
Yeah. Wore a hat and a tie. And
I was trying to do this whole mobster type thing.
All you need was a pinstripe jacket.
Well, that I don't have.
Get yourself a zoot suit, Dave.
You'll thank it.
You'll thank me later.
Yeah.
Of course, apparently the security guards at the Springfield Airport
were... They were looking at me like, what the hell is this guy about? And then Doss comes off and it's like, okay, something's going on. They're filming a reality TV show or...
I didn't see anyone else's reaction when I... traipsed around you like a fool.
He's dancing around me.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
But we journeyed up to Chicago. But before we start about our trip, not a whole lot of toy news. But I know last week we had David Gall on. We were talking about Star Wars and the fact that tickets went on sale that night as well as a new trailer.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is I almost thought we should have recorded something like Saturday night. Just to cover all the stuff we're about to talk about.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about the new trailer
because it hadn't gone up yet.
But shortly after it went up, it was...
That was an interesting night. Like, after Dave left, and I'm sitting there, and I got to see the trailer once.
Right.
And then something popped up on Facebook.
Yeah, the trailer... Well, let's talk about the trailer.
Okay, let's talk about the trailer, because I think it's a fantastic trailer.
Yes.
I'm really legitimately excited about the movie now.
Yeah.
Really, like this one, the whole way through, I kept going, this is going to be good.
Right.
That's what got me excited. Like, not, you know, it's Han, it's Chewie.
Yeah.
It was like, this feels like they're doing something. Like, there's a story being told, and it's going to be good.
Yeah.
So, I, and of course, I think the thing that everyone kind of goes back to is the one moment, and it's been memed a million times now, but it's that moment where she's like, you know, there were stories.
We've heard stories.
Yeah.
And you hear Han say, they're true, all of them.
But the way the second line, it's just, he sells it so perfectly.
Yeah. Because if you think about it from the first film, from the start, from episode 4.
Well, that's one of the memes, is he's all Mr., you know, there's no cosmic force, to, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's real, all of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really wonderfully done trailer.
And it lays out the three new characters.
Yes, it does.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Gives
you a taste of the old with a
little... We get Han, we get a quick shot of Leia.
A little shot of Luke in a cloak with a...
I know, but everyone whines because they don't think that's Luke.
Oh,
like, no, it's Luke.
It's Luke.
And then there was a whole thing where people thought Kylo Ren was Luke or Luke was an evil Jedi.
No.
Ugh.
And they forget Empire Post, like... Printed all those.
I've got that. And I think
and
it's in
the actor playing Kylo Ren at one point is helmetless in the movie because they show
him
fighting Finn, and Finn's got Anakin's lightsaber and they're fighting in the woods.
Well, he's got a blue lightsaber.
Yeah, he's got a blue lightsaber.
Well, because we were skipping ahead way far yesterday at lunch. Brandon
Michael, from Manor Monster.
Yeah, and I were kind of talking about it. Poor Doss is sitting there.
Man,
like,
you two were monsters.
Yes.
My fingers on my ear humming.
It's funny, you know, I've sort of established being the biggest spoiler phobe about this movie.
Yes, very much so.
Well, you know, there's big picture stuff and small picture stuff, and I kind of like the idea, especially because I didn't have a grasp of this movie. I like that I have an idea of what's going on.
Right.
I can kind of see the skeleton. And that makes me happy, because now I kind of have a better idea.
It's the meat of it you're more
excited
about.
It's the meat of it. That's the experience of it. It's the specifics. I mean, you know, obviously something happened between Jedi and this film.
Right.
I don't know what it is. I don't want that spoiled. I want to know what happened.
That's going to be something that's going to be told through the course of that film as to what exactly happened. And why?
There's a reason that we're not seeing Luke in all the ads, and I don't exactly know why that is, and I'm keen to see what that is.
Right.
I do know some things, and then I know some rumors that I probably would be happier not knowing, and those we did not discuss in front of you.
Thank you. At one point, we left a restaurant. You and Brandon were talking, and I hear, Star Wars, I'm just going to meander over here.
Yeah, that was probably good, because I think Brandon...
Like,
Once we were outside, I think Brandon felt a little freer to talk about some big things.
Like, I'm gonna go over here. Ooh, somebody who can talk. I can talk about Sentai.
Yeah, it's like, hey, what? I'm watching the Ninja, huh? the new one that's on right now.
Yeah. It was a wonderfully done trailer, and
I was surprised people were whining about it. Well, they don't tell you the whole movie. They don't show you Luke.
People will whine about everything.
Yeah, apparently.
Like, I mean, Star Wars is something that has always rocked me emotional.
Yes.
Maybe because I got into it at a time where I was a little more isolated and kept to myself. So I always felt like, not so much like, oh, they're my actual friends. But when watching the trailers, it's as if you're being reunited with friends you haven't seen in a long time. And I cry like a baby in front of that. On the plane coming over, because I was listening to Fat Man on Batman, and they were talking about, okay, you know, let me go back and watch this for the second time. And I'm sitting there, biting my knuckles, trying not to cry in front of everyone.
I got a little goosebumpy watching that trailer. I mean, I don't have nearly the emotional connection the two of you have to it, but I know going into it how wonderful it looks, and the fact that, you know, we've talked about it before, about how Abrams...
Is a fanboy.
Yes, there is CGI in the film, but the whole film is not CGI. They're physical effects, physical sets. You know, the creatures are physical, which they proved greatly in that one shot of JJ on set when they were doing the Run for the Force charity or whatever. And
the peddler guy
walks by and looks at him and just keeps walking, and it's like,
It seems like they're going the Jurassic Park route. The original Jurassic Park, where they had practical effects, and they used the CGI to enhance and do what you can't do.
So, which is wonderful. Which is how most films should be, anyway.
I agree.
Do you think that's going to bring on a resurgence of more practical? Damn.
No.
Yeah. It,
no.
Because these days, physical effects and sets are so...
I mean, it's expensive. Yeah. And Star Wars could get away with it because it was Star Wars.
Yeah. I think you'll see more directors trying to do so, but... I don't know if it's going to take an, you know... there might be a resurgence, you never know. Maybe
some of them.
Yeah. I think Disney's always been kind of good about doing some physical effects in some of their live-action films, so... we'll see. But yeah, I got goosebumps with that trailer. It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautifully done trailer. And then Red Letter Media, who, of course, we discussed again last week...
Yeah, I mean, that was the irony. I'm sitting here, like, really pimping how great their stuff is.
They did a, they kind of did a video.
It was an interesting experimental video, and I'm betting money Mike is the guy that did it, because he's got that kind of sense of humor.
Right.
And he's the guy that actually was behind the Plinkett reviews.
Right.
But the point of the video was a commentary about how Star Wars has become about crass merchandising, and how that sort of ruined the original movies.
Right.
I mean, that's the point of...
That's the gist of that video.
The way he conveys that is by putting the vintage action figures in acetone and filming them melt.
Yeah.
And the irony is, if you're a fan of the site, you know why he did that, because they did on Best of the Worst, they did a review of The Jar, and it was voted Worst of the Worst, and they destroy the Worst of the Worst, so they put it in a jar and filled it with acetone.
Right.
So you can just see that, like, it's like... Ooh, melt plastic. We're going to film other melting plastic. You know, you can see the little wheels turning.
Nice turning. But the part of that video, about halfway through, as you're watching these melting figures...
Not even like a third of the way through.
Third of the way through with these melting figures and these sounds from the film and the music.
Yeah.
And it starts... Then it starts... They start doing... But about halfway through that video, they start,
they start showing footage from people's Force Friday videos. Including ours.
Yeah, including our haul video. Yes. And I was, you know, Carrie and I watched it together, and Carrie goes, well, that's kind of messed up, because aren't they kind of mocking you guys?
Oh, no. They were mocking us. They were flat out making fun of us.
I don't think they were, like, they weren't mocking.
They were mocking. They were mocking
the fandom. I don't think they were mocking our site.
I don't. I don't think they were aware enough. I think they did I think it's almost an ironic compliment that they did a search of Force Friday videos, and ours came up because it was successful enough.
Yeah.
And then you got this big fat dude in an Ewok hat.
Ewok hat. Yeah.
And that to them, that's, well, here's this, you know, one of these fucking, one of these freaking nerds who shows up, you know, opening night with the lightsabers, who plays dress up, you know, the fat kid who spun the lighting stick around in front of the green screen.
Yes.
And, you know, So I can, you know, and then there's that shot where I push, and that they use in the video, I push the pile of stuff to show you how big a pile of stuff it is. So I can see why they picked that.
Right.
I mean, they obviously had to watch the video because they showed, before that shot, they showed a couple of clips of when I'm actually reviewing the figures.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there were other videos, too, of people in the stores and...
Yes.
In the
aisles.
Yeah, someone said that $7 for one of these figures wasn't a bad price. And that's one of the things that bugs me. Like I don't want the implication that I'm that guy.
Right.
Because $7 is not a good price for
this. No, $7 is not a good price for Star Wars.
No. And so, for me, it was complicated because it was obviously... It's Red Letter Media. It's my, you know... I do love these guys. I watch all the stuff that they do.
Right.
So it was a little, it hurt a little that it's like, oh, they think I'm a dweeb. But you do have to, you know, part of it is you put yourself out there looking like an idiot. And,
people notice.
And, well, people notice, but you can't really be too upset. You got to have a little bit of a thick skin about it if you're
right.
going to go on film looking like an idiot in an Ewok hat.
I think over the years of you doing videos, you've kind of garnered a little bit of thick skin against haters.
A little bit. I
watched the video. When I saw it, the one thing that upset me the most was I was like, there's no credit.
Well, yeah, of course.
You used our copyrighted material, and you didn't credit us. So let's rectify that.
Yeah. And they did.
Yes, they did.
And there's one of the other sites that now has a credit, too.
Yep.
Last time I looked.
Yep.
But I think part of it also that bothered me a little bit was the attitude of the video itself. I mean, I can't say that I was wearing the Ewok hat ironically, but it was. I mean,
it was taken out of context.
It was taken out of context. I had one foot in being a fanboy and one foot in being aware, having a self-awareness about how ridiculous this is.
Right.
And that got lost.
Yeah.
And that bothered me a little bit that there is a context. I was deliberately looking stupid to make a comment about how stupid this is.
Right.
While at the same time completely indulging in the stupidity.
Yes.
So you know. So it was a very complex emotional night for me that night.
Yes, it was.
Just 1 week ago. Because I went from a big high to kind of a high to kind of, oh. Oh, they think I'm a dork.
No.
And then I was kind of worried that you were going to, like with the copyright thing, you were going to make them mad. And
no,
they,
no.
And then they'd do something.
No, God, no. I was very...
Because they're...
No, I was very kind.
They're the kind of guys that will do something.
No, I was very kind. I said, you know what? We love your stuff. We watch your stuff. We think you guys are amazing. We find it... You know, I said, we find it pretty spectacular that you guys, you know, we're a little fish in a big pond, and you guys... are aware of something that we did. I'm like, the thing that makes me scratch my head is, had you have reached out or emailed me, you know, you could have reached me through YouTube, you could have reached me through the website. All you had to do was drop me a line saying, hey, we want to use some footage in this. This is our idea. And I was like, number one, we would have had a heads up. And number two, both of us would have lovingly been like, we get it. Yes, use it. You know, just credit us. Just credit the site. That's all I ask for is you credit our work. And,
I wish maybe you would ask for a guest spot from me on Best of the Worst, but okay, whatever.
So, they emailed back and said, you know what, you're right, it's our fault, it was a last minute thing to throw fan footage in there. And
I bet.
Yeah, we did.
They kind of do a lot of stuff on the seat of their pants.
Yeah, and they're like, we didn't think about reaching out to anyone, so, you know, how do you want us to credit it? And I was like, yeah. So,
yeah.
On top of that, Jim and the Holograms opened Friday, this past Friday.
And
nobody cared.
Yeah.
Let me
put it this way. I saw on my feed a review of Jim and the Holograms, I think around Wednesday, and I'm like, oh, that movie came out?
Yeah.
That was literally like my... I don't think I've ever seen a TV commercial for it.
I have. I've seen quite a few. There was a pretty decent marketing push behind it.
Was there?
On like ABC, CBS, NBC during like...
Okay, see, I don't watch those.
Yeah, during primetime.
I've seen mall ads, but that's about it.
I don't watch the animes, so...
If you don't watch the animes... So Jim and the Holograms cost $5 million to produce. Blumhouse Productions, the guy that was behind the original Paranormal Activity.
Okay.
Directed by John Chu, who
did G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yeah, not a bad director. It opened on 2,413 screens over the weekend. And it opened with just $1.3 million in US receipts.
Yikes.
Yeah. It'll make a bajillion dollars overseas and start a whole new franchise.
Yeah, it's,
That's what all these... Like, there are so many movies that flop in the U.S. and they just make bank by...
Well, yeah, but they're action movies. That's a big thing. That's why most of our cinema these days are action movies, and that intelligent adult dramas don't get made that much because you can dub it pretty easily with, "You die."
You die.
Yo, muerta.
You think you can redub it into an action movie?
Yeah.
You can reverse Tiger Lily it.
You could indeed.
No, I want to see that.
We could dub it.
We're going to see. I'm not sure if Jim and the Holograms app actually opened overseas.
They usually have a pretty big... Nowadays, it's pretty much all at the same time.
Nope, just opened in the States so far. That's their domestic...
Shows what I know.
Yep, that's their
Stick
domestic...
Stick with the toys, Draper.
their domestic take was $1,320,000as of this recording today.
Yeesh.
So, I mean, if it opens, when it opens overseas, I think it's going to make...
I don't know. Because it had so low a budget, it'll probably do okay.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that's the kind of movie that will do well overseas.
Depending on how much money they spend on advertising, which, you know, in this day and age, it's usually half of what the budget of the film was, or close to the budget. Being this, I'm sure they spent a couple million dollars on...
See, what I'm saying is, like, I know action movies will, but I also know that dramas and comedies won't.
Right.
And Jim is sort of a movie about singing people, yeah. And I don't know...
How big of a franchise is it, you know, in Europe and...
I don't know.
I can't imagine it's a huge franchise overseas. Maybe in Japan, a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Depends on if they, you know... but it was ranked the number 4 worst opening of a wide release.
Oh my God, what was worse?
Yeah.
The worst openings very wide on Box Office Mojo were number 1 was the Oogie Loves and the Big Balloon Adventure. Oh. Apparently that came out on August 29, 2012.
Apparently.
Delgo was number 2.
What is Delgo?
I have no idea. The Saw 10th Anniversary was number 3.
Okay.
I didn't even realize...
At least I've heard of that one.
I didn't even realize they did a 10th Anniversary thing.
Well, okay, I didn't know that, but I've heard of Saw.
Jim and the Holograms was number 4. The newest Bill Murray movie, Rock the Cash Bar.
Really?
Number 5, yeah.
Wow.
We Are Your Friends, the trying to think, Pretty Boy from High School Musical. Zac Efron was in that.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other... other films in the top 10 are P2, Major
Sequel
League
to P1,
Major League Back to the Minors.
Okay, well, finally something from some of
the Real Cancun and Spider-Man/Men in Black 2, which I'm not sure that came out. I don't know if it was a double feature or what it was.
Apparently,
that was a 3-hour 29-minute runtime. So I'm guessing it was
No, because Spider Man 2 is practically a 3-hour.
There's not very surprising things on here. The Adventures of Pluto Nash is number 12.
Okay.
All Dogs Go to Heaven 2 is number 14.
Oh no.
Where's the Love Guru in that?
You know what?
Where's Fantastic Four?
Almost Heroes was 28.
Where's Ishtar?
You know what? I don't know.
Where's Heaven's Gate?
Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, was 38.
Oh, no. Oh, that one hurt.
The Cole the Conqueror.
I remember that with Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah, it was number 43.
Oh, wow.
I'm just like, Three Ninjas Kickback was number 50.
Oh, no.
Powerpuff Girls movie was number 51.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Wow, ouch.
Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return. That was the animated one. Oh. That was number 57. It ended up making $8 million. John Carpenter's Ghost of Mars, Vampire Academy, which was a couple years ago. The animated King and I, the Astronaut's Wife, Shaun the Sheep movie.
Oh no!
MacGruber was number 75, which is super weird because they're making a sequel to that.
Well, it was a huge hit on video.
Yeah. Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story.
Aww.
Uh-huh. I can see why.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Flipper in 96 is number 86.
Nah, that's not a shock.
Arthur and the Visibles. The Invisibles, that didn't surprise me because that apparently was really bad. Oliver and Company, the reissue of Oliver and Company in 96.
Well, reissues really shouldn't count.
Yeah, these double features and everything.
Yeah, I know, I don't get that. Although, as much as I loved it and it made some cash, Josie and the Pussycats is number 108. because that was kind of a bomb too.
I don't know. When you get into the 108th worst performing movie of all time, it's kind of like, eh, it just didn't do well.
I'm sad that movie 43 is not higher on the list than it is. It's at 128.
That is sad that's not higher on the list.
If anyone who's seen that movie would understand why it's an awful, awful film.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Yes, it is. Some interesting... that was 2,000 plus theaters wide, though. Those were the worst wide openings. But then you look at like the saturated 3,000 plus theaters, and it's like, oh, weird. Like I've heard of some of these movies: The Seeker, Meet Dave, The Wild Thornberries, Quest for Camelot, yeah. Shorts. Interesting stuff.
So, do you guys think? And I know we talked about this in the car. But you guys seem to think that if the movie had been more faithful to the '80s TV show, it would have done better.
If they would have at least. They could have kept this new gen kind of thing and somehow still been faithful to the material by including... Maybe not so much like... They could have left Synergy as the little robot her dad made for her, which is how it is in the film, which... And you know what? I wouldn't have been so upset that they took away the whole holographic imaging for Jim and the Holograms. I wouldn't have been so upset about that. But you keep the fact that, you know... instead of making what's his face a woman, the recording manager,
Eric?
Not Rio, because Rio's in it, but
Eric,
you know, instead of making that character female, leaving it male, actually using the Misfits in the film, you know,
having
the Misfits be the hottest band going and introducing Jim and the Holograms the way they did in the film by like a YouTube sensation,
yeah, like an All About Eve kind of thing,
yeah, and then they slowly start to build, you know, momentum, and then the Misfits are you know. Are threatened, and then it just starts this big, you know.
Just like, they're lazy, and
That's almost exactly how the new comic is going.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And you know, I understand the executive's idea that you know, let's make it new, bring in a new generation. But let's face it, the only people that are going to see these new versions of old 80s properties are people like us.
Yeah.
And if it's not going to be faithful, then we're not going to want to see it in the first place, and we're not going to drag anyone younger to see it.
Well, and again, we've talked about this in the car. I think the exception to that and the reason that everything is being done the way it's done is Transformers, which was a huge hit. Mm-hmm. So...
But even they, to a degree, were faithful somewhat to the material. Faithful-ish. But they left certain aspects. They brought in certain aspects that made the fan community very happy.
Some kind...
Maybe in the first one?
In the first one, yes.
I mean, the Allspark was a giant cube.
Yeah, not so much that.
The Matrix of Leadership was a knife thing.
Yeah, but you bring in Peter Cullen as Optimus.
Okay, but I mean, come on. That's like the minimum amount of effort you can make.
Well, and I'm not saying they made a huge effort in Transformers. I'm just saying, had they made a little bit more of a minimum effort in Jim, perhaps it would have been a little bit better received. To a degree, but...
I can see the argument that you know, you're taking this property that the modern generation has no attachment to.
Right.
So you're trying to sell it to them, but you're also trying to trade on the name recognition from people like us.
Yeah.
So I can see where you sort of, in this particular case, you did screw it up because you alienated the old timers and you were taking a risk on the new timers and... Maybe you should have played up more to your base.
Right.
You drove away your base by not being as faithful as you could have been.
Yeah. There only
I can see that, but...
Very few properties I can think of that have actually pulled that off. One being Transformers, Turtles.
Turtles did a pretty decent job with the new
one. To some extent, I guess My Little Pony.
But they haven't had
a theatrical release, movie yet. Well, I mean, technically they kind of did with Equestria Girls, which... but that, you know, they were building off the hype of Friendship with Magic. G.I. Joe did their second time around. The first G.I. Joe film.
It's debatable.
You know what? I mean, G.I. Joe's an example of the other side where they screwed it up.
There's that, Thundercats, He-Man. None of that took off with...
The animated stuff.
Younger generation. It was all us.
I agree. I don't know, man. The Jim thing is very, very debatable because Chu has even said that he tried to pitch a more faithful interpretation of the you know of that project to the studio, and the studio wasn't buying. They wanted him to do this YouTube sensation kind of thing, and that's you know that's what they felt the young kids
The kids are into the YouTube.
Are into the YouTubers.
There is a way you can write around that, and it could still work, but exactly. It seems like.
They just did the bare minimum they could to get a Jim movie. And the fact that they shot that movie in like 2.5 weeks or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Stupid, stupid quick. And apparently you find out why, because a good chunk of the film, apparently, they intercut, because Chu famously went on YouTube and Twitter and all that and asked for fans, you know, hey,
yeah, there's a lot of actual footage.
Yeah, there's a lot of actual fan footage of people sent in saying how much they love Jim and what it means to him and all this stuff, and that all of that stuff is taken completely out of context in that film, because it means something completely different than what the film portrays it as. And like when Jim shows her emotions, apparently, like they show these guys, like, I don't know, these guys, like these drum guys were drumming because they love Jim or something like that. And so her showing her emotions of anger is like they intercut it with the drums, and it builds into the next scenes. And
yeah,
it's very, from what I read, and I have not seen it, and I probably won't see it. Honestly, I have no intentions of seeing this film.
I have some friends who, despite everything that's been going on, want to dredge through it.
Really? I can't.
I don't know.
I've dredged through some pretty awful films and kind of enjoyed myself.
Yes, you have.
And this one just makes me go, I mean, for God's sakes, I enjoyed The Hand of Manos.
Manos,
the Hand of Fate. I enjoyed the heck out
Nobody
of it.
Nobody enjoys Manos the Hand of Fate.
I thought it was hysterical.
That's almost unwatchable with the bots.
I know. But my God, it's fun to watch because it's just like, this is so awful. It's great. I have no intention of watching Jim. But it sounds like in all cases, like, it's just not.
Yeah, they whiffed it.
Yeah, well, no, they didn't whiff it. They missed it completely.
That's what whiffing is.
Yeah. Although apparently there is a stinger that involves the Misfits. Yes. All of the Misfits. But that's not going to. I think that might have been a last-minute ploy for the fan, you know.
Yeah, that probably was kind of a last-minute.
When there was all that lashback, they were like, oh, we should probably do something for the fans, you know.
I'm not even that big a fan of Jem, or know that much about Jem, but when someone said the Misfits weren't in it, I was like, well, that's bogus.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I know about Jem.
Yeah. Was the whole Jem and the Holograms
Misfits
battles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that movie failed miserably.
Well, to sort of tie it, I don't know what you want to leap to now, but I mean to tie it into something else, Hollywood is stupid, and executives are stupid.
Yes.
Which we kind of got a
good
big
glimpse
old,
of.
Yeah, we got a little master class in that, because
yes, we did.
In the hotel room Saturday night, you hooked the computer up to the TV, and we got to watch The Death of Superman Lives.
I did, because neither of you guys had seen it.
Nope.
So I hooked the computer up, and we sat down, and watched it. You know, it was a very very crappy internet connection.
We had some issues, but it was fine.
We made it through. But for anyone who hasn't seen that, you know, famously, that film is why Kevin Smith now pretty much has this secondary career. And it's honest. Even Kevin Smith says, if it wasn't for Superman Lives, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Because he famously started doing college tours telling that story about how he was hired to write Superman Lives. And this crazy story involving the executive producer, John Peters, had the rights to Superman, who actually bought the rights to the Superman film out from under Warner Brothers. And you watch this documentary, and I know there were several times where I'd look at Das, and we'd be like,
yeah,
he's
holding
that
our heads.
Crazy.
He's a madman.
He's ridiculous.
And yet he's the guy that produced the first Batman movie.
Yeah.
So.
Which famously, Tim Burton
said he filmed it in England so he could get away from him.
Yep. And he was not, Tim Burton was not looking forward to filming Superman Lives because it would have had to been filmed in the States, and which means John Peters would have been around a lot. John Peters is kind of started out as a hairdresser for,
on the streets, though. He's a street fighting hairdresser.
He's a street fighting hairdresser. He's been in something like 600 fights.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You just watch that documentary and you just scratch your head and go, this is what's wrong with Hollywood. Mm-hmm. These kinds of people, they're insane. And
they're the gatekeepers. Yeah, you've got to go through these people who have no other appreciable life skills.
Yeah,
so they've somehow drifted to Hollywood and meshed themselves into
the upper echelon,
the structure of the movie making thing, so that you need to go through them in order to make anything.
But Smith has got part of his story is the famous. He had three requisites for Smith writing the movie.
Yes,
he didn't want him in the costume. Didn't want any flying.
No,
and he wanted him to fight a giant spider.
Or the Thanagarian.
The Thanagarian, yeah.
Well, that was Smith.
That was Smith making it, because he's like, all right.
Thanagarian snare beast.
Snare beast, yes. Yeah. But, and then, of course, they asked John Peters, and Peters was like, none of that's true. None of that's true. I never said that. And it's like, well, I bet you did, and now you just don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting documentary. It's a well-produced film. It's a lot of fun to watch, actually, because you know, they sit down with Burton and they talk to him. The only person they don't ever sit down and talk to is Cage.
Do they really talk to Burton? Because, oh my God, rambles.
They do talk. They talk to him.
They talk at Burton.
Yes.
And then Burton responds with rambling.
Yeah. I think the good thing about that was, prior to this coming out, we've all seen the photos and we've all lost our mind on how terrible it looks.
Yeah.
But it takes that and puts everything in context.
Yeah.
And when you get a better look at the traditional Superman suit that Cage would have been wearing, it looks a hell of a lot better.
Oh, yeah. It looks amazing. Like the
I wouldn't say amazing, but it looks better.
It looks better. It doesn't look
In fact, they even make a point about the fact that the moment that one famous shot was taken was like the worst possible moment, because he's blinking and it's a bad angle.
Yeah,
and it was the most unfair possible way you could get it. I still think it looked... In retrospect, it would have looked terrible.
It looks weird on Cage.
Yeah.
It looks... Like, I love the 89 Batman more than anything. But that suit looks kind of dumb in retrospect. And it's all black.
Yeah.
And you don't get a good look at it. So the Superman one was kind of like that. Blue and bright and shiny.
You got really good looks at that sucker.
It was not as horrifying as that one picture, but it would have looked bad.
It would have looked bad. It would have been a very...
And then the other one, the crazy suit, it was for one scene.
Yeah, it would have been. It was just for one scene that they were designing that for, to be used with all the lights and the weird vacuform pieces.
Yeah.
I
think the movie would have been good for one thing and one thing only. Christopher Walken as Brainiac.
That's inspired casting. Spacey as Lex Luthor was a good call.
Which Singer continued on into
and wasted.
But it was a very good documentary, which then led us to go, is Doomed out yet? Which, for anyone that doesn't know, Doomed is the real life story behind Roger Corman's Fantastic Four film. Which that is not out. It still says pre-order.
It's out, but it's only been like in the
film circuit.
What am I thinking of? Festival circuit.
I'm like, gosh, dang it. I want to watch it. I want to see it with my own eyes. So that was a lot of fun. That was a good time.
Yeah.
We did not ask fan questions because I knew Dawson was going to be on here, and I knew that the toy show was going to be a very interesting conversation because Dawson's never been to that show.
Yes.
But there is one question that was sent to us by John Lefebvre. It was sent to our email, and I didn't get to check it in time to answer it last week. So he goes on to say, he says, hey guys, I discovered your YouTube channel a few months back and have since been enjoying your reviews and podcasts. With your most recent episode being, as of then, 193, I couldn't help but have a couple of questions. First, why all the Creo hate? I understand they're not up to par with Lego in terms of quality, but what exactly is the dislike for them? Your brief discussion on them only mentioned their contributions to particular lines. Is that all there is to dislike? What about them as construction toys? I always liked Lego, but felt it was too expensive to really delve into. When I found out that there were G.I. Joe Creo, I could not resist.
Yeah.
I've had a load of fun building the sets and creating my own things. Also, I think I get more enjoyment out of my own creations, even though there are some amazing sets like the Terradrome.
Okay, first of all, I was not aware that, I mean, aside from when they clearanced them out, that Creo were particularly cost-effective.
Right.
I don't remember them being particularly cheap. What it is, number one, they're knockoffs. So it was pretty much a blatant ploy on Hasbro's part to
horn
in on Lego's racket.
It wasn't the first time Hasbro's tried a building block.
No, actually they did Build the Rule with
G.I. Joe.
So I mean, you know, right there, you really the respect isn't there,
right?
Because you're copying someone else that's done it and been successful.
Correct.
So you know, it's why when Dave brought up Mega Bloks last week, I was kind of like, you know, and then I realized you really liked it. Yeah, and I realized he really liked them, so I kind of was like, we'll keep my mouth shut. So that's kind of strike one. Then they did the Transformers, and I always thought those sets were stupid because you built the robot or you built the vehicle, but you didn't build a robot that turned into a vehicle.
Right.
Just anytime you have a Transformer that doesn't actually transform, which I guess technically you take it apart, blah, 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 but
that's frustrating.
I never like that. I always think that's the point of the toy line, is thing A turns into thing B. And anything you do that isn't that is dumb to me.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, it's like a G.I. Joe that isn't a soldier. Well, I mean, you know, they obviously expanded that concept. But,
yeah.
You know. But Strike 2 was when they did the G.I. Joes, because when they put those out, the emphasis was on the Creos rather than on the regular Joes. And I wasn't into the Creos. I didn't want the Creos, and right. I wanted the regular Joes.
Right.
So if you're gonna like show attention to this instead of that, it's like, you know, the brother that's liked and the brother that's not liked, and you know, I
think your tipping point.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Strike three was when they got the Star Trek license, and then they announced Dungeons and Dragons, and they got the Star Trek license, and I really desperately wanted 3¾-inch. Because this was still when they were doing articulated figures. This was G.I. Joe. This was Star Wars vintage.
Yeah.
I wanted Star Trek figures like that more than words can express. And even if it was just from the new movie, I'd have took them.
Right.
And then the other thing is, in the video game, they had the Gorn. They had a redesign of the Gorn. And in all the product for Into Darkness, they would usually include that Gorn. Even though, you know, he wasn't in the movie. So I could have gotten an articulated Gorn action figure.
Exactly.
But yeah, all we did was the Creo.
Yep.
That ticked me off to no end. And then they announced Dungeons & Dragons, and I was like, you people are dead to me.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was like, we've got the Dungeons & Dragons license. And Dave was like, yeah.
No, they've always had it. They've always had it. They were just like, we're going to now make Dungeons & Dragons sets. I'm like, what? We're going to make toys for D&D, but it's only going to be the Creo.
Yeah.
So it's just, it broke, like it was that they showed attention to that as opposed to other toy lines that I would have liked.
Yeah.
And therefore, I hate them. I mean, the product itself is okay.
I think the Creo, the figures themselves were a little more fun than the sets at times.
Yeah, you said that.
Debatable. You know, I know
at
it's
least
debatable.
With the Transformers minifigures, maybe, but when it comes to, like, the little Joe characters, it's...
And some of them were kind of cool, like when they did the,
I'm not going to help you.
The Action Hero Joe from the 60s.
I mean, it was cute that they did, though. They did a bunch of them. They did Sea Adventure. They did the Land Adventure. They did do a little flocking on the headpiece.
Yeah, and the beard. That was kind of neat.
That was cute. Not on the beard, but on the headpiece.
Oh, on the headpiece.
Because that's how it works.
Yeah.
But, just, you know, that's why, I mean... The actual product itself, I mean, you can't argue with it because it's Lego.
Right. Exactly.
So, and I remember I made a joke. I can't remember about what property it was, but the, it might have been Back to the Future. It was either Back to the Future or Doctor Who or something, but it was like, they released the Lego set, and then I posted, when I got the Back to the Future set, I'm like, so if they'd done this as Creo, would you just be complaining about it and being a big grump? And I'm like, well, yes, I would.
And he goes on to a second and a much more simple question.
Oh, dear Lord.
Do either of you guys watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I have not watched this season at all.
I have not watched this season at all either.
I watched the first, what are we on, fourth season, third season?
No, third season. Third.
I watched the first two seasons, and I enjoyed it. It's got its merits, but it's one of those shows where it's a very, that first year was a very slow build, and the second year was kind of...
Really, you liked the second year at the time.
I did, but it was another slow build.
I think it was dominated by Kyle MacLachlan.
Right.
And now that apparently he's probably not going to be on it as much, I think it loses something.
Right.
Yeah, I've watched both seasons. I have season one on DVD, so it was part of my whole DVD rewatch. And then just because, you know, I could get it on Netflix, I watched season two.
Right.
I like season two more than season one. I like Kyle MacLachlan. I hate the Inhumans, so... Like, I'm just not that into this. I'm not where they're going with it. I'm not into where they're going with it, basically. And I just, they just don't have the budget to do what they're trying to do. That whole last story arc from season two is, you know, a schism in S.H.I.E.L.D. and these superpowered beings, and it's a three-way blood, and it's this giant battleship. And they, you know, they don't have the budget for any of that. So it's just three guys running around. It's like Doctor Who level running around a cheap set.
It seems like our only gateway into the Kree, though.
No, the Kree were in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
They were there. They were that. Ronan was angry that the Kree had signed a peace treaty with the Novans.
Yeah, with the Novans.
Yep, nope, the Kree are out there in legitimate form.
Yes. No, I like it. I just haven't had time to sit down and watch the
I don't
first five episodes.
I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
And just before you send in the next thing, why does Dave hate the Inhumans so much? I just don't like them. I think they're just kind of second-rate X-Men.
Yep.
I don't like their powers. I don't like their characters. I don't like Black Bolt. I don't like the Medusa. It's always kind of like talking about how great and wonderful, magnificent, stupid Black Bolt is. The only one I like is the dog, because he's a dog.
Yep.
and he can teleport.
Yep.
And that's kind of cool.
And he was a babysitter for the Fantastic Four for a time.
For a time.
Yeah. Still waiting for my build-a-figure for that.
I know.
They're coming out with one for the Forge line.
But that's your schedule.
Yes, it is. Woohoo! Everything's coming up, Draper.
Yeah. So this weekend, since Das was here, I mean,
since Das happened to be in town, we decided to put on a toy show in Chicago.
We've been trying to work out details for Das to come into town because, you know, originally he wanted to come in the spring to come to C2E2 and then go to King County. That just never worked out. And I was like, well, why don't you just come out in the fall one time and we'll make a weekend of it. We'll go to, you know, we'll drive to Chicago. We'll do some stuff. We'll go to King County and we'll have a good time, buy some toys, and you know, it'll be fun. So you know, Das made the journey. Across the country and stopping in the middle, right here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Yay.
It was a short plane ride.
Yes, it wasn't too bad. But we journeyed up to Chicago on Saturday to the ride, and there was a Masters of the Universe crawl going on in Chicago to celebrate Daniel Benedict's film.
This was classic Duvall. Like, you didn't tell me any of this. You said, I want to go to this one toy store. And to be fair, I misinterpreted what you said.
Right.
All right. Because this was the thing they were going to. This was the place they were going to after C2E2 this spring.
Yeah.
And they went to two different places, and I got them confused. But you said, I want to go to this place. I'm like, then you're driving now.
Right.
All
right.
What you didn't mention was that that was part of the whole Masters crawl, that your other boyfriend Danny was going to be there. That all these people, like, none of that. I just thought you wanted to go because you had heard about it and you wanted to see it. But no, it was, we got to go do this whole thing and be with all these people and do all this stuff.
Well, you know, it
for Masters.
No, and it comes down to the fact that I was trying to think of...
Question three, why does Dave hate Masters so much? We've covered it.
Yeah. It was just like, I don't want to just, you know...
You just don't tell me things because you know that I'll say no. And like, once we're in the car, I'm you like, have no stuff.
Option. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Yes, basically.
You have no option but to do, which is why I told Carrie. Originally last week, I was like, I think Dave's going to drive. And she's like, well, yeah, that, you know... I thought that was the whole deal, and I was like, well, you know, I don't know. And then you were like, could you drive? Or last week, I was like, I was thinking about doing this. He's like, oh, well, you mind driving? I was like, all right, fine. And I told Carrie, and I was like, well, it looks like I'm going to drive. And she's like, why not make Dave drive? I'm like, because once Dave's in the car, he has to go where I go.
Yes.
And he has no say over it, so he just has to sit there and deal with it.
Basically.
Yeah. I learned a number of years ago that if I want to do something other than drive there, go to the hotel, and go to the toy show, and then come home. What?
Geno's East.
Geno's East, that's true. Then I just need to drive, and Dave just needs to sit there and take it.
Basically, yes.
And Dave will be angry for a second, and then he'll get over it, because he'll realize, well, I'm not driving, so who cares? Not my car, I don't care.
Kinda.
Yeah.
It's a trade-off.
It is a trade-off.
It's like, I don't have to deal with trying to get back to 55, but I have to socialize.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's a balance.
Yeah, it's a balance. But yeah, we journeyed up there and went to Toy du Jour, which we had never been to, but...
Nope.
Even Carrie had heard of it. She's like, because she's seen pictures of it. She's like, we need to go to that store. And Toy du Jour is a really good store. It's a really, really nice little store and kind of the right in the outskirts suburbia of Chicago. And they had a lot of cool stuff, and the prices weren't terrible.
Mm-mm.
Weren't bad at all on what they had in there.
I would prefer to go back sometime when it's not part of the whole...
When it's not crowded.
I'm a big man, it's a small store, yes. And there were a lot of people. And it was not the best combination.
No. But there was some cool stuff. I ended up buying a couple things and kind of poked
you did. No, you legitimately got something that... I can't say it's cool. I can't bring myself to it, but it's Duvall cool. Does that make sense?
Is it my real man?
Yes. Yes.
There was a line from, was it Mattel? It was a Mattel line in the late-ish 80s, like 86, 87, called Real Men. And it was basically just these little sports-themed finger puppets almost, where the bodies were like these posable kind of action figures. And you had a little black glove, kind of like the Sectars, and you stick your fingers through. And your fingers were the legs, and you put shoes on. Or like with the boxer, your fingers were the fists. Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
Yep. For the boxer, your fingers were the fists. But they had the cheerleader, and I was like, I'm buying this.
Yes.
Holy crap. Because she comes with pom-poms and little shoes and little skates she can skate around on. And it's magnificent.
Is that the only one you have?
It is. I had the boxer when I was a kid.
Okay. I feel like there's a show somewhere in there if you get more.
I think there is. Mm-hmm. And they're not too difficult to find. I just had never seen one in the wild complete. And this one had been open, but everything was still sealed inside. And I think they wanted like $10 for it. I was wow. Yoink, done.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
The prices weren't bad.
No, not at all. So, there was some cool stuff in there. They had a lot of, they had a few really cool rare items. They had an Electroman from Ideal.
Yes.
From the 70s. That I saw that they kind of wanted, I think they wanted like $30-$40 for. And he was in really good shape. And then, of course, we'll get to King County. But, of course, that was one of the first things I bought at King County was an Electroman for $15 who was in the same shape, who works wonderfully.
Oh, good.
Yes. Although he's got a short somewhere that I got to figure out how to fix.
Oh,
but,
no. Those are two different statements, as usual. He works wonderfully. No, there's a short in there somewhere.
I put batteries in him. He worked great for 5 minutes, and then he just was like...
That's the opposite of what
So I'll have to take his back apart and figure out what wires loose.
Nice eye.
Yes. But we went to Toy du Jour. Doss got to meet Danny, and...
I've met him before.
You had met him before at PowerCon, right?
No, I was at the Four Horsemen.
Four Horsemen, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gallery.
You covered it for Toy Fair, that's right.
Yeah, this time I didn't act like a total creep behind him. But he seemed to understand that, you know, I was just being weird for the sake of being weird.
But you got to hang out with Danny for a little bit and meet some of the Brad and Stacy in person. Mm-hmm. And Brandon from Manor Monster. And Dave, of course, wanders outside at one point. And Doss and I...
It was crowded. It was not a statement about anything else other than I felt... Because people... It's one of those things like... Again, no matter wherever I am, I'm blocking something that someone wants to get to. At one point, you know, Stacy was kind of trapped in that other side of the store, and I felt bad about that. So, I mean, you know, again, if there hadn't been a crowd, there were a couple things that I kind of wanted to go back and look at and see what prices were. But I went outside, and I was kind of hanging around, and I started talking to this guy. Some guy in a hoodie and a beard, and... you know, he's like, so what do you collect? And I said, oh, I collect everything. And so I started showing him pictures on my phone. And he's like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And then, lo and behold, I walk outside and you're standing there talking to him. I went, Staples! Because it's about Staples.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And Dave does a double take and he goes, oh my God! I was like, what, did you not realize you've been standing here this entire time talking about Staples?
They're doing my yard right now.
They are doing your yard right now.
For the second time today.
For the second time today?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah, they woke me up in the morning.
Why do they got to do it twice in one day?
I think they were getting the leaves originally, and now they're mowing.
Oh, well. Yeah, it's fine.
Well, let's invite him in.
Yeah. Hey, come on in.
What do you collect?
What do you
leaves?
Collect? Leaves. Leaves. Grass clippings. Toy du Jour was fun. Doss, what did you think of that little store? It's, you guys on the East Coast have got a number of stores kind of like that.
Yeah, I have two different collectible stores near me. One that's kind of antiques, dolls, and action figures. And, you know, they're not going to... pay you out the wazoo for it, and like I can come across something good and get it for dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And then there's another place which is specifically designed for, you know, video games and action figures where you're gonna pay a little more.
Yeah.
This was really nice. Again, it was tiny. Even you and I, you know, it's still hard to get around in. There were some Power Ranger items. I did see a Dino Buckler, original Morpher and Gun.
Boxed.
Yeah. I'm starting to see them a little more often. I think the price has certainly come down since the Legacy Morpher has been out.
Yes.
I mean, the Legacy Morpher is a better toy, but part of me, just for nostalgia's sake, wants to go back and get that.
Right.
And there were a handful of other items I wanted to get, but I'm going to buy some things on Sunday, so...
Exactly.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. Yeah.
Well, I think I spent a whole whopping $30 in there. And I was just like, hey.
Well, you know, again, I really can't... The cheerleader thing, I can't, because that's such a Duvall thing.
Yes.
It's such a perfectly Duvall thing.
I agree.
It is Duvall cool.
I like the Globulus socks, though.
Yeah, those are cute. They had those at C2E2.
Oh,
the little Snake Man warmers?
Yeah, for Globulus.
Well, for a Snake Man themed action
figure.
For a Snake
Man themed action figure, yes.
Let's put it that way.
Even though he's on the cover.
Yeah, so we hung out for a little bit, talked, and then it was like, well, it's... going to take us an hour to go the 30 miles to get to our hotel, so you know, because we wanted to go eat Gino's East, which is always a tradition.
Yep.
So we journeyed there, we're driving through,
and also, like, we were going to meet people like this. Of course, we had to meet people at Gino's East. You were hoping we'd get to hook up with Gall and then Brian and Matt.
Yeah. So what was interesting was driving through town. Of course, I'm driving, and Dave and Doss are looking. And as we're driving by, Doss and I both noticed this store that's like a retail fronted store, and all they sell is the prizes you can win in carnivals. And we were like, "Oh my God!" That's amazing.
I almost wish you guys had pushed it, because he wouldn't have had to push me hard to like stop and go in there.
Problem was,
that was fascinating.
They weren't open. Like, you could tell they were closed, but just their whole window was nothing but stuffed animals, and you're like, this is amazing. So, very interesting stores on the way to the
hotel. Yeah, there was something else, but I forget what it was. It might have been before that.
There was
that.
A cotton candy guy.
There was a cotton candy guy walking between the cars.
Selling cotton candy.
Yeah, there's probably knives or drugs in there or something.
And then, like, you have to understand, like, his face was like something out of a prison movie. And he had this big scar on one cheek.
He was terribly, terribly messed it up. But yeah, he had go like some candy corn. No, get away! The homeless guys that were walking in between the cars, walking up the cars, like, waving. And
peace signs.
Yeah. And we were all like, don't make eye contact. look away. Sunday was fun, though. Sunday, of course, we got up and went to the King County Toy Show, and I think it lived up to DOS's expectations for all the...
Why don't we let the boy speak for himself?
I don't know. It definitely did. A lot of the toy shows out near me, not that I'm going to piss all over them. I mean, they can be small.
Right.
With some exceptions, you're kind of going to see the same things.
Yeah.
Here, how many buildings were there? Five?
One, two, three, four. There are five buildings altogether.
Yeah, I've never seen something this expansive, and there was a pretty wide variety. My big thing is that I'm usually going in for a specific set of something.
Right.
And those expectations are usually never met.
Right.
Here, I came in, got a bunch of Food Fighters from Josh.
Yeah.
He gave me a Hoff figure, so...
That's awesome. Yeah. Your own floor burger figure.
I got some Power Ranger Morphers, which I never find at toy shows, and I got them for dirt cheap because the guy
didn't know
what he had, but he didn't know any significance to them. So that was probably my find of the weekend. Got a shirt from Danny.
Yep.
So now we can advertise in my neck of the woods.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Well, we did a video when we got back, a haul review video, and Doss is showing off the shirt, and I'm like, oh, good, free advertising for that kid. here at Toy World, we like to help out those lesser sites that need a little boost.
Yeah,
need a leg up.
I can walk around town. Hi, do you know Pixel Dan? Yes, I do.
Yes, oh, wow.
We're best friends.
Yeah. We're good buddies.
Then she'll be like, my 3-year-old loves him, and then he gets shoes pooped on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just four buildings in King County, and they open up the poultry building, which is next to the rabbit building, which doesn't really smell like poultry, but...
Or rabbits.
Yeah, or rabbits, strangely enough.
It's just like a big shed.
Yeah, there was a smell from time to time, but...
Yeah.
I don't think that was from the poultry.
Yeah,
I think that was from big sweaty nerds.
That show has been around. Like, I was looking at the back of the car and realizing, like, wow, that show has been around almost 50 years at this point. It's in its 45th year.
Wow.
That show.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's as old as I am.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Actually, it's older than I am.
Yeah.
Just barely.
It's pretty nuts that show has been going on that long.
Well, I mean, you know, we focus on our stuff, and that's kind of what's become ascendant, but it is a dolls and antiques kind of show, collectibles.
Right, right.
So.
But yeah, it's. I kind of, you know, Dave vanished and Doss and I kind of stuck together pretty much all day walking around.
No, after the first building, we stuck together.
Yeah, we did.
And that usually, because you go so slow. And I want to see what's going on.
That's because I go in every booth.
And you talk to people.
And I do talk to people.
Why? Well, yeah. And then part of the other thing was when we came in, we were a little further back in line this time. And when we came in, there was this huge crush of people. There were a lot of kids. I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, kids can't have toys, it's all for me, the collector.
Yeah.
But it is annoying that you're trying to get into somewhere, and kids particularly are very erratic. So, you know, because I don't want to be that big fat guy that tramples a child.
Right, right.
But the children don't seem to, like, want to, like, do their part and not run out in front of me when I'm moving. So, like, I actually kind of, like... Because that very first thing in that very first building was all Star Wars. And I really wanted to look at that, but it was full with kids. And I, you know, so I kind of like swerved off and just kept moving.
Yeah. I think the show was a very interesting array of a lot of, there was a lot of stuff in the show that I'd never seen before.
There were things that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah, and it was pretty dang impressive. Just the sheer... multitude of items that some of the things, like I saw a somebody had a costume for the Mr. Bubble character from the Bubble Bath.
Oh wow!
Yeah, there was a costume for sale in the ladies' booth that was that character, and I was like, holy crap, man! It's like that's pretty crazy.
Well, like one dealer had a complete set of Bugmen from Insectia with all their accessories.
Yes.
Wanted all the money for it, but I mean...
Like $600?
Like $500.
Yeah. We saw a number of old Bobs.
I didn't see a number.
I saw three of them.
Really?
Yes.
I only saw one from that one dealer.
That one dealer, and then Chris and Matt at Toys had two of them.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah.
And that Starrier's toy that was everywhere.
Yes. Oh,
the Starrier's base was all over the place.
Well, and that was one of the early themes was we kept finding precincts, Police Academy precincts.
Oh yeah, precincts.
Because now you have one.
Yeah, no, I have one.
Now you have one. We saw them all over the place. Yeah,
I was like, what is happening?
And Tyrannosaurus.
Yes, and like what, two or three Tyrannosauruses from Thundercats, which is like one of the rarest Thundercats items ever made that actually was produced, like one of the last items produced, and there's like three of them at the show. Which was crazy. Now, of course, they wanted all the money for them, but they were nuts. It was a very impressive fall show this year.
Yeah, they had a lot of good stuff.
They did have quite a bit of good stuff, and you know, I think the we got to see guy, you know, Dealer Dan had brought some good stuff out.
Actually, you know, as much as I love Dan and as much as I tolerate Floorburger,
right?
I usually don't buy a lot of stuff from them. This time, I actually spent a lot of money at both of their booths.
Yeah, you did.
So,
yeah, because you bought quite a bit from Dealer Dan.
I bought a bunch of stuff. Well, this is the irony, is you had bought one thing that was kind of...
pricey.
A pricey special piece.
Right.
Which is the kind of thing that I usually get.
Right.
And I ended up buying a bunch of Waterworld figures from Dan.
Yeah.
It was Bizarro World.
Yeah, it was Bizarro World. It was kind of funny. Especially because you had bought them before. I was still... I don't know what I was probably stocking the Spike or what when you... Because Spike from Toy Man was set up right across from him. So when I walked up, like I think Neil and Dan said something about, Dave just cleared me out of Waterworld toys. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, wait, what? And I was like, hold on, what?
I know what those words mean, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's not computing with my brain right now.
I figured I got the boat. I might as well get the figures.
The
yeah, why not?
Did Gall bring in that deluxe one last week make you go, you know what, I kind of want those figures now?
No. Well, maybe.
A little bit.
Maybe.
Subconsciously.
It could be, because I know one of the other things I got was the Violator Monster Rig from Spawn.
Yes.
And I know I got that. I know I got that because you got the playset.
Got the playset.
Just, yeah, it put that seed in. Because I'd always kind of wanted it. It looked kind of cool.
Right.
And just that, it lain fallow in my brain for so long. And then you got the playset, and I'm like, oh, guy's got it for $15 in the box.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that.
I'm going to buy that. And of course, it was stupid, because at that point, I already had one box under my arm.
Right.
Now I have another, but I'm like walking around with two boxes under my arm, banging into things. Oh, it was awful. Dan was cool. He let me put his stuff behind his.
Yep. Him and Andy from Andy's Toys.
Yes.
But you bought some stuff from Andy.
I did. One of the things that we saw, I there had been an auction of Gauls where they had like a box of horses.
Right.
And one of them was Scout from the Lone Ranger. Well, Gabriel.
There was a Scout in like two or three.
There were two other horses. Yeah. There was. I said a box of horses.
Like two or three silvers.
There were two silvers, and then were like Briar horses.
Yeah.
And there might have been a Marx Noble Knight kind of horse.
Right.
Or Johnny West. Who knows? But another guy bought that box, and all he wanted was the silver, and he did one of those, I don't know what I want for it yet. Blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
It's like,
aw. I hate when they do that. So I've kind of been on the lookout for a Scout, and we saw, like, first of all, like, right when we walked into the building, someone was walking out with one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is, you overslept, and you cost me my Scout.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Dan Nordyke had like a special box set that had Tonto and Scout.
Right.
And but I'm sure that was worth a lot.
And then there was a dealer that had a store display.
Yeah, had a store display. Well, we saw Scout, and I'm like, ooh, how much is it? And you walked around, and you're like, no, it's a store display.
And they went like $1,500.
Well, yeah, because it was a whole full store display. Yeah. And then finally Andy had just the Scout in the box.
Yep, for a very good price.
He cut me a deal on it.
Yeah. Which was kind of cool.
Yes,
it was very interesting. There's a dealer, the two dealers that we see every show. They were at JoeCon this year because we bought all our action.
They've been at every JoeCon I've been to.
Yep. Their names are Chris and Matt. They run Chris and Matt's Toys on. If you look up on Facebook, they have a page where they celebrate their business. They don't have an online store yet, but they have they just have warehouses full of stuff. It's unreal because JoeCon they had so much. They had, you know, we thought Roma had a bunch of stuff, and I think Chris and Matt's Toys was the booth that where they had like
it's always the booth that has like just the it usually takes up the biggest amount of floor space.
Yeah,
they just have that. They that, had like their front is all just like. Little
bags of figures,
yeah.
And they had like two boxed flags and a bunch of other stuff. Yeah. They had just so much amazing stuff. They were set up at the show as well, and we get there and start looking, and I'm looking in the cases, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm like, what? Look at all this amazing stuff. Like, there's, you know, there were complete Lord of the Rings figures from
Knickerbocker.
From Knickerbocker, loose, complete, beautiful shape. Looks like they've never been played with.
I probably should have looked at those a little closer.
Yeah, they were gorgeous. You know, pretty much a complete run of Thundercats. Complete run of Silverhawks loose, like including like three or four of the Supersonic Quicksilver or is it the main character?
Yeah, Quicksilver. Yeah.
It's like three or four of that Supersonic suit, which is the rarest Silverhawks figure they ever made. Just amazing stuff. Like a full run of Filmation Ghostbusters figures and vehicles. And I'm like, holy crap. So I'm asking, I don't know if it's Chris or Matt. I don't know which one's which, and I apologize. I think Chris was the short one, Matt's the tall one. I could be wrong. But I start talking to them about it, and they were telling me the story that, you know, they bought this collection from a lady in Texas. And this lady in Texas had a couple kids, and, you know, she'd buy, you know, one for each of the kids, and then she'd buy, like, another one and take it, open it, put it in a bag, and put it in a tote. And she had, like, this room she called the Toybrary. And it was just, you know, floor-to-ceiling shelves with totes. And in these totes were nothing but bagged action felt like complete runs of toy lines.
Yeah.
Masters, Thundercats, all this stuff. And it was unreal just to see all of that stuff. I mean, they had rare Power Lord stuff. You know, they had the two little rare, like these, their little pullback little shuttles that they released late in the run of Power Lords. A full run of loose, as well as figures with vehicles of the Animax line, which is stupid, stupid rare. Just amazing stuff.
You were all over that booth.
Oh my god, yeah. I couldn't get away from it because it's just like, it was amazing to see. It's just like, the more they tell me this story, the more I'm looking around going, this late, like they had a loose Dick Tracy Blank. They had a whole set of loose European Secret Wars figures that this lady just bought. Somehow she managed to get a hold of these figures in the 80s when they first came out. She managed to get a hold of all this stuff. It was unreal. And of course, in there, they had two bags. One was complete. One was missing a baton and had a broken binocular strap. But they had Captain Harris, the mail away from Police Academy. And I think they wanted, $135 bucks for the complete one. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, you know, it's a chunk of change. I'm like, you know, I've seen him go for like $75, $80. And I'm like, you know, I got to talking to him, and they cut me a pretty decent deal, and I had to him and haw about it and think about it. And I'm like, ah, that's a huge, you know, chunk of my budget. Much like last time, you know, we went in the spring, and I bought the Police Academy playset, and that was a huge chunk of my budget.
Yeah.
So it's like, ah, do I really want to do that again this show? But they've got it, and I've never seen one at a show.
I wanted you to get that. I really wanted you to get that figure, because it was the one thing you needed, and you never see it.
Their booth was very impressive. I did end up buying Captain Harris, you know, and it was well worth it. I did kind of have a little bit of a slight little panic attack when I handed over the money because I'm like, oh, I could buy so much more stuff. But
I eventually had to walk away from that booth because there was so much stuff that my wallet couldn't handle.
Yeah, your wallet started to weep. It's like, they just had so much good stuff though. I mean, it was unreal.
I always do.
Yeah, well, and they
at JoeCon, it's all Joe. Yeah, it's all like the good stuff.
Yeah, and they were like, dude, we couldn't even bring half of what we brought back from Texas.
Well, yes, there was one thing in particular that was not brought.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, we won't be talking about that right now.
Oh, that's because I was surprised you were mentioning Captain Harris, but that's the thing you keep in secret. Okay.
Yeah, we won't talk about that right now.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, they had a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff they didn't bring. A lot of play sets of stuff they didn't bring that were just huge. But it was just a complete run of loose, like Power Lords, like all the first and second series, all with their weapons. Nothing broke. It was just like, my God, man. And now, of course, the prices reflected this good stuff because they had good stuff. But I think they were the ones that had two old Bobs, and I think they wanted like $500 a piece.
Yeah, they were a little more. They were actually a little more expensive than the other guy.
Than the other guy was, because the guy you brought, you bought your
Beetlejuicean from. Yeah, yeah. And your he had an old Bob, and he had a Star. And the problem was they were in a glass case. The problem was that they had two stickers on them, and one said 95, and one said like 465.
Yeah.
And I was like, so why are there two stickers on them? Hoping that it'd be like, well, you know, we were going to try to sell it for 400, but no, yeah. one was grade and yeah. one was the price.
Well, one was the grade, one was the price. And Dave famously went, okay then, and yeah, walked away.
Nope. Don't like Black Hole that much. Would love to have an old Bob, but nope.
Nope.
Although I will say they moved up on the list, and maybe next time.
Yeah. Our buddy Buzz from Hide the Villainy.
Yep.
Got to hang out with Buzz for a little bit. I had taken him famously at the last Ohio toy show we went to. The Columbus show that we went to a year ago?
Yes.
He had a Keldor, 2000X Keldor, but it was missing. Like, it just had the Keldor head and the staff and the swords, and that was it. It didn't have the other heads and stuff. And I told him, I was like, I've got a box at home for a Keldor that I just have the heads. Like, do you want to work out a trade? And he goes, I could use that. And he's been holding on to this Keldor, so I finally took him the box to show and got some cool, a couple mask things that, I got another Gator just because it had the gun on the top of the roll bar gun, and I was like, I need that gun.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. The guy with the Black Hole figures, I was tempted to buy another, I believe it's either Megarite or Zeronite, the guy with the cape. Right. So I don't have a cloak for mine.
Right.
And just spend the money and get the cloak and then maybe cloak. Sell the other one at King Cat or at Toy Man for like $100.
Yeah. So I got another Gator that's going to go to Toy Man next week just because I'm like, well, now I got a double Gator. Crap. And like I got a Piranha, a complete Piranha from him from Mask, which I have parts of that vehicle, but I didn't have anything else. Like, I had the windshield and I had the little sidecar. That's all I have of that vehicle. So, it was a good show, though. There was I was surprised I didn't come out of there with nearly the amount of stuff that I usually do.
Hmm.
Which was good, I guess.
Well, it was funny. I got home and, I really thought I'd busted out. Like, I was down to my last dollar.
Right.
After lunch, I was down to my last dollar.
Right.
And I was like, I don't really think I spent that much. I mean, I know I spent a lot of money, but, like, I brought a lot of money, and I'm like, I wouldn't say exactly buyer's remorse, but there was a part of me that was like, what happened? So I'm going through all my stuff, and in one random pocket, my jacket, which I must have missed, there's like a big wad of bills, and I'm like, like no. Jason, more money than you brought was in a pocket. So.
Oh my God, David. But Dosh, you had a good time, though. You thought the show lived up to everything that we talked about over the years?
Absolutely. I mean, I wasn't aiming to spend a ton of money.
Right.
Half the time I go to shows, I don't spend anything.
Right.
But...
What? There's a fun in that.
Well, for what I spent, I got a lot out of it.
Yeah. Which is awesome. Which is always good to hear.
Oh, and there is one more story that I want to tell quickly, because it in our own little niche little circle, I think... people will find this interesting, is Floorburger redeemed himself.
No, he did.
Yeah, he did.
For now.
For now. He was starting to already get back on my bad list, but the New Jersey, the Cincinnati show?
New York Comic Con.
No, it wasn't Comic Con. It was the one that John Solo went to. And he posted a picture in our group that the guys at Roma, it turned out, but I figured it was, had done a custom Baroness figure out of an Adora figure from Classics. And at the time I said, hey, could you pick that up for me? I'm good for it. And he's like, the show's already over. And so I got a private message from Josh saying, oh, that Baroness is here. I'm coming tomorrow. Can you spot me the money? I am good for it. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And then I got another message. So which one do you want? There's two of them. I'm like, I don't know. So he sent me a picture and I picked one. He bought it. I almost wanted to ask him to get both. But that, now you're getting into some expensive stuff for, spotting someone.
Right.
So he's like, well, hopefully they'll still have it tomorrow. And they did.
Yeah.
And we stopped and we talked to them. And, yeah. And I know the guys from Roma. We actually had...
You had dinner with the
guys.
We had
dinner
from Roma,
in Indianapolis. And they he hung out when we did the drunk cast with the guys from...
From Star Joe's.
From Star Joe's.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And they were real happy that both of them were going to a home.
Yeah.
that they will be appreciated and loved.
Oh, yes, very much so.
Touched and...
Looked at. No. Ew.
You have such pretty hair.
Ew. But it was good. You know, Doss, I'm glad you came. Are you glad that you you journeyed to the Midwest where nothing happened?
Well, I was happy to finally meet you guys in person.
Well, yeah.
You certainly live up to your reputation.
we're pretty much yeah. who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love for you guys to come out to my neck of the woods.
God, yes.
There may not be as much to do tour-wise, but there's stuff to do.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen the sights of New York. I've been on...
You realize he lives in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I know.
Well, New York,
and they're different cities.
Yeah, but
it's only a two-hour drive.
Yeah, it's just like driving to St. Louis from there. And that much I know. I know that because he went to go shoot for Comic Book Man, and it was a two-hour drive. So. Yeah, I've never done the sights of New York. I've only been to Times Square, and that's it.
You've never been to Midtown?
No. Oh, yeah, no, I've been to Midtown. Okay. Midtown Comics?
Yeah. There are a number of toy places.
Do they still have Complete Strategist? They're still around?
I don't know.
All right. That's a gaming store.
All right, I kind of figured. Yeah, I'd love to go out there and, of course, you know, hang out with Doss. And then I famously, you know, like we talked to Gaul last week, I famously want to go out and raid Jordan Himbro's warehouses.
Yes, well, I'm sure he'll allow you to do that.
Well, you could always come to ToyCon next month.
I'd like to go to a ToyCon sometime.
Because they're all going to be there, and you could pester Jordan there.
I know. I pester him enough. Jordan! But, we're glad that you made the journey and hung out with us for a weekend.
I'm happy you had me.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
It was, and, of course, Doss was the best-dressed man at a toy show ever.
He was.
Yeah, when we got in line, I got a lot of looks from people.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive. Like, I was like, this is... Doss is snazzy, and we're like, hey, we're toy guys.
Yeah, well...
Doss got mistaken for being in the Masters movie. Yeah.
He was so sharply dressed.
Yes. Who did you play?
I played myself.
Yes. Yes, yes. Hey, Doss Barone.
But,
actor.
I had been holding this off probably until we recorded.
Oh, okay.
I brought items for both of you.
What?
What?
These...
You didn't have to bring us gifts, Doss.
These are... Well, I had these made.
Mine might be better than his.
They are both.
I'm petty.
Custom made from Ryan Bross. He's part of the Facebook group.
Yeah.
He used to work with me, and he does a lot of cross stitching. So he had these framed pieces, these 8-bit pieces. One is Ariel for you.
Oh, look at that!
And from the video game. And then this is, I believe, he said it was Alan Grant from the Jurassic Park one.
Okay.
That is awesome.
I remember that.
That is awesome.
That is neat.
And I think on the, you can see it better on yours on the back. I think he has his signature.
Cross stitching. Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, sir. Those are pretty freaking cool.
You're most certainly welcome.
I love it.
I want to give them to him now.
Those are great.
That's cool.
I love it. Well, there will be a picture of this on the fan group and on the story page so people can see what exactly these look like. Because this is these are pretty impressive. My aerial one is awesome. Look at her.
Yeah, that is cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. Oh, that is the Alan Grant from Nintendo 1.
Yeah.
He mainly focuses on video game stuff.
He's shooting a tiny raptor.
Yep.
He's done some phenomenal work on hats. I know he had a set of Ninja Turtle ones, and those look stellar.
That is just... Those are... Impressive beyond all belief. Thank you, sir. Those are friggin' neat. I am taking a picture of them right now as we speak. Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Any minute.
Any minute.
Eventually.
There's one. There's two. Those are awesome. Thank you, Doss. Those are pretty spectacular, my friend. My gift to you was dinner.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I bought you breakfast. Gave you a place to sleep.
Well, what do I get you guys that you don't have?
Oh,
how about a...
Yeah.
Trust me, that's my problem right now with Christmas. It's what do I get Dave that he doesn't have?
I don't have to worry about that.
No, because Dave bought me Steve Scout.
Kind of, in part because, like there was too much stuff there that, like, I knew you've always really wanted. And that's really irritating for me, because first of all, you do this thing where you're like, You talk about things, you find it, and you're like, you know, I don't really want it that much. It's like,
Right.
So they had Steve Scout, they had Duke, and they had the Captain Harris.
Yeah.
And I knew you kept thinking about the Captain Harris. I'm like, look, if you want me to loan you a couple bucks, because I wouldn't worry about getting paid back right away.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, if you want me to loan you, he's like, I don't think about it. We got to Steve Scout, and I'm like, oh. Yeah. he's going to probably buy that, and he's not going to have money for the Harris. So I'm like, I will buy you the Steve Scout for Christmas.
And Steve Scout came from Dealer Dan. He was in a box. It was store stock, dude.
Yeah.
It was like, I opened it when I got home and took out the little pamphlet still in there, and instructions on how to use his arms and stuff. I'm like, this is amazing. I love every bit of it. I've wanted a Steve Scout since the early 80s when I was getting old comics from the 70s. And my grandpa would get them from garage sales and I read them. And you come across like half of the comic was nothing but ads.
Dude, anytime we ever talk, since I've known you, anytime we ever talk about the Tomar books, one of the things you'll always bring up is, oh, the Steve Scout stuff.
Steve Scout and Duke.
Run, Duke, run.
Duke the Rescue Dog.
Yeah, and we got you a Duke.
Yep.
Not the best Duke, but we got you a Duke.
He's a Duke, and you know what he's
like. And you got him cheap.
I got it for $10, which is spectacular.
Yes,
but it was good. We're glad that you journeyed with your Das to us and
with your Das.
Glad you survived the weekend with Dave.
Yes, I think I only called you Dash twice, so there is that.
That is that.
Have I mentioned I'm old?
At least he's going to mistake your name for something adorable and cute.
So. There was an onion tied to my belt, which was the fashion at the time.
Oh, my God. But Das is going to have to journey back to the East Coast here in just a scant couple of hours. I have to get into the airport soon. Not soon, but
I got to pick up my dog soon.
Das, thank you very much for hanging out with us. We love you. You've been a friend of the site since day one.
You've done a lot for us. We really do appreciate what you bring.
You've been Dave and I's friends for almost 3 years, 4 years now. So
I appreciate you guys for having me.
Of course. I'm getting a little teary-eyed.
I became a big fan of you guys back at your PCN days. And knowing that you had started up a new site, I immediately jumped on and was excited to see your return.
We thank you, brother, because it means a lot. It means a lot to me that, and we kind of discussed this yesterday, that not only do we have a loyal group of fans who we run into all the time at shows, and it's always cool, but a lot of the fans have become friends, which is really awesome. Which I love the heck out of, you know.
Yeah.
That's the most amazing part. It's just Dave and I are two schlubs who collect toys, running our mouths on a podcast.
Yeah.
Doing videos that crack us up but may not be funny to others. And, you know.
Oh, you hold that thought. You hold that thought.
Oh, good. Good. We love having you. And I look forward to us coming to your neck of the woods or you coming back here. A year or two and hanging out with us, maybe a little longer. Maybe when C2E2 and King County are the same weekend again.
Yeah.
Because that's always an experience.
It is.
And thank you for hanging out with us on the podcast. And I'm glad the toy show proved fruitful for you.
Yeah, I'm glad it. Usually when I hype something, like when the person experiences it, it's always the worst one. Like, I'll talk up a TV show, and they always manage to watch the worst episode ever.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that King County paid off. Or not paid off, but panned out to what you were looking.
So. Let's see.
Me English speak good.
Me then. English speak good?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up our show with our special guest, Adas Barón, and our good friend hanging out with us today and hanging out with the weekend. And thanks again for coming by, coming out to our neck of the woods. Again, surviving Dave for a weekend.
Oh, it wasn't as bad as everyone made it out to be. He's a lovable human being.
Well, I was like, so what do you want to do? I could show you a different Toys R Us.
We can go to this Toys R Us. That's different.
That's about what I do.
They take it to Target.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah,
not a big fan of Target.
No, man. But again, we'll be back next week with all new shows. We build up to episode 200, where we will, in fact, be joined by David Gall and Pixel Dan Erdley as we discuss weird, odd, and
strange. Yeah, I believe I described it to Das as, well, we can't say it on air, but yeah.
Yeah.
You will need a change of pantaloons.
Yes.
You will.
Oh,
The average audience member will be like, meh.
Yeah. But we build up to episode 200. Make sure you check out our sponsor, Shellhead Comics, shelleheadcomics.com, the Shellhead Comics blog, and so much more.
They're good people.
They are good people at shelleheadcomics.com. They've got some really good stuff from
Matt, yeah.
From Matt, Brian's buddy Matt.
And I think I got a cool figure from Brian, too.
From Brian, yeah. The very cool Street Fighter figure.
Yes.
So make sure you check out our sponsor, Shellhead Comics, and give them some love. And make sure you check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. Just go up Toy World Order and you'll find this show and Buried to the Collection both in the same feed. And check out the YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder and ToyWorldOrder.com. If you miss a video or miss an episode and you can't find it on Stitcher, go to ToyWorldOrder.com, look up David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, and find every episode that we've ever done, ever, at your listening convenience. Right at your fingertips. So make sure you check it out. And gang, until next time, David.
You don't have to go home. Either one of you. But neither of you can stay here.
Good call. The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Das, thanks very much, brother.